with exhortation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I myself am not a runner. Okay, I don't like to run. You might have seen this quote before. It says this: I don't run, but if you do see me running, you should too, because something's probably chasing me. That's kind of like me, except I'd probably be like sports. Okay, I'd run only if there's like if I have a basketball in my hand, or if I have a football in my hand, or a baseball, or something. But then I'm running. Otherwise, I don't really like to run. I'm not a runner. Okay, that's not something I enjoy doing. But at the same time, I know that running is good for you, right? And you know, people who run, it's good exercise, and it's good to build up your cardio and you know stuff like that. And I know running is good. It's a good thing. And so I would go through stretches of my life where I try to run, right? I wake up, okay, I'm gonna try and go running, you know. And oftentimes that doesn't last very long. And the only times that I've kind of been able to sustain it a little bit longer is when I run with friends, right? When I run with people. And so there was one summer where I got together with two other guys, and we decided to run, not every day, but a couple times a week. And we went to the guy, one of the guys has a park right across the street from his house. And so we'd go to the park, and we'd run just laps around the park. And inevitably, as we're running around, you know, after maybe the second lap or so, you know, my lungs starts to burn, you know, my side starts to hurt, my feet start cramping up, or my feet, you know, getting tired, and I want to give up, right, because it's so tiring and exhausting, and I'm like running. But they would, you know, encourage me, right? They'll kind of come by, hey, come on, keep going, keep running, you know, and eventually, yes, okay, I'll keep running, keep doing it. We'll try to distract ourselves, you know, we'll talk about, you know, basketball, the teams, and talk about, you know, if you were to draft your, you know, top, you know, people, what would you do? And you know, talk sports or whatever to keep our minds off of, you know, running. But we'd do it, and eventually we'd get through it, and we'd run, and we'd finish our running. In the same way, the Apostle Paul writes about our faith and how we are kind of in this race. We're running this race, and the author of Hebrews also talks about this. So we see a couple of verses here about us running this race of life, or running this race in our faith, right? Our Christian faith is also a race, or running. And this is some verses here. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may attain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wealth, but an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So Paul here writing, talking about this race that we run, and we need to take, it's a discipline. It takes work. It takes hard work that we need to put ourselves through, right? We don't just do it like that, just to run, right? We need to be disciplined about it. He also writes here in Philippians, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal, the prize of upward call that God in Christ Jesus. Again, this idea of running this race, pressing forward, pressing on, even though it's difficult to keep going. And the author of Hebrews, they write this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. And so here again, the author is writing, saying, hey, we're here in this race. We're running this race. And if you read these verses, what you see here is that this race that we run in our faith, it's long, it's a long race. It's not a sprint. It really is a marathon, and it's a journey, right? And we need to keep going. You know, it takes discipline. It takes, you know, we need to get rid of the things that are holding us back so that we can keep going forward. We can keep pressing on towards this goal that God has called us to. And we are in this race, brothers and sisters. We're in this race together to run. But it's difficult, right? Sometimes it is tiring and it is hard. And so today, as we look at this gift of exhortation, this is really great. These are people who come and exhort us, right, to keep going. So what is exhortation? Exhortation comes, it's also known as a gift of encouragement. It comes from the Greek word parakaleo, and the definition is to beseech, exhort, to call upon, to encourage, and to strengthen. Now, for me, when I usually hear of the word exhortation or encouragement, these three things kind of come into mind, right? I think about it like, oh, you know, if you someone did something good, then great job, you know, like encourage you in this way, like good job, you did a great job. Or, you know, if someone is struggling, to say, hey, you know, don't worry, you can do it. Come on, personally, you can do it, right? Or if someone is really, you know, going through a difficult time, you know, it's okay, you know, everything's going to be okay, right? And I think that is exhortation, that is encouragement, but it's more than that. It's more than just these words that we kind of say to people. I think the gift of exhortation is more than just, yeah, you see somebody and you just kind of say these words, yeah, good job, or say, keep going, or press on, or whatever it is. There's more to it than that. And so today we're going to look at three different verses from Paul and also from the Hebrews passages, from the author of Hebrews. And we're going to see three kind of different ways that we can exhort one another. Okay? And they sound pretty similar kind of on the surface, but kind of in the context of the passages, we'll see again there's nuances into how we can exhort one another. Okay? So the first passage, and it's a little bit long, but it's Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Let me go ahead and read it for you guys here. It says this. I'll read it from my Bible. All right. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living that he had opened for us through the curtain, now it is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near in a true heart, a full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is drawing near. Here, the author of Hebrews is writing and talking about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ had made for each one of us, that he has died for us, that he has cleansed us, and that we have this relationship with him. And because of his sacrifice, because we know that he's done this for us, and now because we know that we have this relationship with him, to say, let's make the most out of this, okay? Let us not just kind of go on with our life, but let's encourage one another, let's challenge one another to keep kind of going on in our life. One of the warnings in our faith, one of the warnings that Paul often gives to the church is to be aware of those who are idle. Not idolatrous, well, that is part of it, but idle, as in like being not doing anything, being kind of lazy, kind of doing nothing. And I think the author of Hebrews is also has that same concern. It says there are people in the church who are idle. There are people in the church who just kind of are lazy in their faith. And those who exhort need to come by. And what the author in Hebrews says is we need to stir them up. Right? You need to stir it up, stir them up. And this is the idea of, you know, putting everything kind of in a pot and mixing it up. And so that there's something, there's action, there's movement that's kind of going on. There's another translation that says it's not just stirring one another up, but it's spurring one another on. And you guys know the spurs where you kick the horse, right, and they run, right? And it's the same kind of idea that we need to come by one another and to kind of kick each other, to stir up one another so that we kind of keep going in our faith. I think for many of us, especially those who grew up in the church, one of the things that is a big struggle is that we can get kind of too comfortable with our faith, right? I have grown up in the church. I have read the Bible many times through. I have heard all the Bible stories. I have heard all these verses before. Everything's kind of the same, right? I have gone through high points in my life, in my faith, you know, retreat, mountaintop experiences. You know, I've experienced God in the great things, and I've had my lows, and everything's just kind of the same now. You know, we just kind of go on with our life, kind of routine, right? We just kind of go, we come to church, we meet up with one another, we kind of do our devotions, but our faith is just kind of blasé, right? It's just kind of float along in our faith. And I think that happens often when we go to church so long, right? That things can just kind of get bland, I guess. Our faith can kind of get bland. And so it's important for us, the Bible says, and the author of Hebrews, that we need to meet together constantly for the purpose of stirring one another up, to spur one another along, to kind of kick each other and say, hey, let's keep living passionately for God. And that really is what we want to do, right? To come and say, hey, let's get on fire for God again, right? Let's do this together, and let's you know, be excited for what God is doing. And it's important for those people to, there are some people who are really good at that, who just are always have God kind of on their mind. I don't know if you know any people like that, who are always like, God is doing this, it's really cool. And they come by like, let me share with you what God is doing. And every time I talk to these people, like, I get really excited as well, because, you know, they're sharing what God is doing and teaching them. And, you know, I'm like, wow, God is doing so many great things, you know. And I start thinking about it in my own life. What is God doing in my life? Yeah, yeah, I see him doing this and that, you know, and I get excited too. One of the things that I do is I meet up with a group of pastors every month. There's like six of us, and we meet together and we share and we pray for one another, and it's kind of cool. I always leave that place really blessed, just because it is such an encouragement. They know what I'm going through, being pastors as well, right? And they all have kids that are a little bit older than me as well. So now that I'm a new parent, you know, they had good advice and kind of sharing. These are things that, you know, going through family life and, you know, what to expect and all these things. And it's just such an encouragement to me to meet with them. We kind of push each other along, you know. We all have our struggles, you know. No church is perfect, and we all have, you know, things that sometimes we struggle through. But we come together and we're like, hey, you know, let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another. And we leave that place a little bit more excited about our faith and about ministry and about doing God's work, because we're doing this kind of together, even though we're at different churches. So that's what it is, okay? And I hope that for you guys, that you guys will look and see the people kind of next to you and be like, you know what? I'm going to spur you along. You know, I want to stir you up. And I want to, you know, be somebody who is so excited, so passionate about God, that kind of rubs off on the people next to us. And I really believe that, you know, one person, you guys can make a difference. There's that old campfire Christian song, you know, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I think that really, you know, happens that, you know, all you need is one little spark from one person, and it can light something going. And I really believe that that's what encourage those who have the gift of exhortation. That's what they're all about. They kind of come along people, they light a little fire underneath them and get people kind of more excited, more fired up about their faith. So let's have that, okay? And for those of you, just to put that into practice, exhort one another in that way, kind of challenging one another to grow in their faith, to not stay at the same place, but to keep going, to keep pushing forward. So that's the first thing about exhortation. I think this is the one that, for most people, possibly makes sense the most, okay? The second thing that we see, and there's a different passage, also from Hebrews, chapter 3, it says this, 7 through 13. So let me read this for you guys as well. This is what the author says. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation, and I said, they will always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest be any of you of an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you might be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So here, the word exhortation in this context is really talking about calling people out from their sin. It's telling people to, hey, you guys need to repent. All right, you guys are going astray from God. You guys have some sin in your life. You need to make a U-turn. Right? You need to, you know, turn around. You need to come back to God. Now, for myself, this is something I'm not very comfortable with. Okay, I've said this before. I don't like conflict. I am a person who likes to avoid conflict. This is me. I stick my head in the sand when it comes to the conflict, right? I don't want to deal with it. I don't like trouble. Right? I don't like to cause trouble. I like everyone to get along. That's kind of who I am. And so, you know, sometimes, and I admit this, you know, I might see someone who's not quite living the faith, the life of faith, you know, but I'll just like, it's okay. Maybe somebody else will come along and, you know, talk to them. Or, you know, I don't want to, you know, this relationship, I don't want to, you know, make it any more awkward. I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to do anything. So I just kind of ignore it. I'll just turn a blind eye, right? But what we see here in this passage is the author is saying that, hey, you know what? Sin is very destructive, right? Sin, there's trouble when people get caught up in sin. And he gives an analogy, or he reminds the readers of the Israelites and how the Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years, right? And the reason why they wandered in the desert for so long was because they kept turning away from God. Their hearts were not, they kept, you know, going astray, right? They were caught up in their own sin. And it's very sad. I think this whole generation of people, right, they were freed from the bondage of slavery from Egypt, and yet once they got into the wilderness, right, they got into the bondage of slavery of sin, right? And so they weren't free from that, and they just wandered around for 40 years. And the whole generation of people, they didn't make it into the promised land because of their sin. And so the author of Hebrew, he says, hey, this is important, all right? You guys need to be able to call out sin, right? I know it's difficult. I know it's not easy. But if you do see somebody who's struggling in their faith, who isn't quite living the way that you know they should be living, right? You need to come by and you need to exhort them in a sense to say, you need to repent. You need to turn back. You need to rebuke them and turn them back to God. And so it really takes you guys a sense of accountability. Okay? And I think those who are exhorters, those who have that, are good at keeping people accountable. Okay. Now, I encourage you guys to do this, to find people, hopefully, that you can have, that you're close with, that you can be able to keep one another accountable. Okay. And this is a couple of things, three things, I think, if accountability should work or could work, these things need to happen. The first thing is you have to be vulnerable with one another, right? You can't just always hide in your shell. Right? You sometimes need to turn around and let people see the underside, the little soft side of you, right? And the stuff that's not hidden underneath the shell. How can you challenge one another or rebuke one another if you don't even know what's going on in one another's lives, right? And I think oftentimes we meet together, you know, in our small groups, in our fellowship groups, we get together, and, you know, the conversations, we might do a Bible study, but, you know, after the Bible study, oftentimes, right, the conversation happens just to be about, you know, what's going on in life, right, in general. In our families, or in our homes, maybe in our entertainment, oh, you know, I saw the latest movie, you know, Avengers movie is great, whatever it was, or, you know, I did this or that, the sports, what's going on in the sports world. We just kind of talk about surface stuff, right, we just kind of go on and that's our meeting, you know, or the food that we ate, or whatever it is, right, our trips that we were going to go on, all these things. Right, and that's just kind of our life, and we kind of just share life together, which is great, but we don't really get that deep, right? And we're not really vulnerable with one another. We're not really sharing, these are my struggles, right? These are the things that I'm going through that I need help with. Could you pray for me in this way, right? And that's where we need to get to, okay? If we really want to be able to keep each other accountable, if we really want to be able to call out sin, we need to be vulnerable with one another. But I understand that that's hard to do unless you have trust. Right, so that's the second thing, right? You need to find people that you trust, right? And I don't think it's healthy for you guys to just go around to people you don't know and start just spilling out your deepest, darkest secrets. Okay, that's not wise. You need to find people who you're comfortable with, who you know aren't going to judge you, who aren't going to take what you say and go and gossip to other people, right? You're going to need that sense of trust, that group, you know, that you trust in. And when you find that group, then hopefully, again, you can be vulnerable in that group. And then the last thing, kind of, is for you guys is to follow up with one another. Oftentimes, I think it's easy for us to share what's going on, and we share it, and we pray for one another, but then that's it. We forget about it. And the next week, we get together, and we don't follow up. If we really want to keep each other accountable, it's a commitment to one another, right? And it's like every week, every day, whatever, I'm going to follow up. I remember. You're going to remember what that person shared, and you're going to say, hey, how are you doing that with that still? Right? Even if they don't bring it up, you'll bring it up because you want to make sure that they're still on the right track, right? So this is what accountability is, and I really hope that for you guys, if you don't have people like that, that you guys will find people, right? And you say, hey, I want you to keep me accountable, right? Find people, hopefully it's your small group. If you have the people in your small group, people that you trust, your close friends, your family members, whoever it might be, your spouse, hopefully, yes, can really keep you guys accountable. You're open and vulnerable with them, right? And they will keep you accountable. And so this is what I hope we would have, okay, as a group, to encourage one another, exhort one another, turn from sin, okay? The third thing, last one, and last passage, this is from Paul in Thessalonians. He writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11, now concerning the times and the season, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not like night or of the darkness. So then, let us sleep as one another do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, for the helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, that we might live with him. Verse 11, this is the main one. Therefore, encourage one another, exhort one another, and build one another up, just as you are doing. In the context here, as Paul is writing, he is saying that one day, Jesus is coming back again. Okay? The second coming is going to happen, right? We don't know when it is, but Jesus is coming. He is returning again, and when he does, we're all going to be judged. Okay? And so he's encouraging, he's saying, hey, you guys need to be alert. You guys need to be awake. You guys need to be ready for when Jesus comes. And the challenge and the exhortation that is given here for you guys is to exhort one another to say, you guys need to live in light of eternity. Okay? You guys need to live and encourage one another to see past just our everyday life and say, hey, you know what? Again, one day we're standing before the throne of God. One day all these things that we have, all the possessions that we have, they're all going to go away. We're not going to bring them to heaven or anything like that. It's just us and God, our relationship with God. Are you right with God? Right? And we need to be able to exhort one another in that. Again, I know that this is difficult. I know that our lives are super, super, super busy, right? I know for you students, there's just a lot that you guys have to deal with, right? A lot of homework, a lot of studying, a lot of tests and projects and papers to write. You also have to do a lot of extracurricular stuff, right? That's all on top of that. You have your clubs that you're a part of, your music lessons that you do, your sports things that you're a part of, your Chinese school that you're going to, all these different things, right? All these birthday parties and dances and stuff like that, right? All these things. Your life is super, super busy, and we're consumed by that because that's what's in front of us. That's what needs to be taken care of. You know, for those of you who are working, it's the same thing, right? You guys have projects to do, deadlines to meet, meetings to go to, right? And you have a social life that you need. If you're single, right, you go on, meet people and get to know them and keep your friendships, you know, strong, those relationships. If you are in a relationship, most of that time is spent with your significant other, right? And you have to spend time cultivating that relationship. And if you have a family, you need to be at home and take care of all the family stuff, right? And cooking and cleaning and, you know, doing groceries and paying the bills. And there's all these things. Right? Our lives are so busy. It really, really is. And it's so easy for us to kind of just live in that everyday cycle of just what's next, what's next, what's the next thing on my schedule, you know, what's the next thing that I need to do, right? And we just kind of get caught up in that. Right now, for myself, right, I'm a new parent, and the next thing is every 3 hours, like, oh, I have to feed, change, burp, you know, put him back to sleep. 2 hours later, okay, I got to do this again. That is it. 3 hours, and doing this again and again. And that's just kind of my life. Right? And it's like, all right. And I forget that, you know, sometimes we need to think about eternity. Right? What am I doing with this in eternity? Am I raising my kid, even though he's only eight weeks old now. am I raising him up in the way that I can to be a man of God, right, living for eternity in the way? Am I, you know, investing in people? Am I investing in God? Am I doing these things that God desires me to do? You know, this is what I believe it really is to live in light of eternity, is two things, very simple, right? It's the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. We need to do these things, okay? We need to love one another. We need to love God. We need to go and make disciples of nations. I think that's what it really boils down to. And are we really doing those things in the middle of all our craziness? I know that life brings us. But are these things, these are the greatest things that God wants us to do, right? To love Him, to love people, and to tell people about Him so that they can get into that same relationship with Him. This is something somebody put together. I thought it was kind of neat. Kind of works with just our life and hopefully our church as well, right? That the Great Commandment, you know, focuses on our worship with God and loving your neighbor in ministry, and the Great Commission to evangelize, the fellowship, the discipleship. Right? And this is all part of what hopefully our church is doing and hopefully we are doing kind of in our everyday life, right? That we are going and we're encouraging and challenging one another to grow in our faith. One more thing before I jump to this. I also really hope to think about in the light of eternity is for you guys to be aware of those people, again, who do not yet know Christ yet, right? It might be a family member, it might be your neighbor, a coworker, a classmate, a friend, somebody who does not yet know Christ. And, you know, the challenge is, hey, in light of eternity, you know, are we doing our part in kind of, again, encouraging them to, hey, come right with God, right? To say, hey, you know, we, one day again, God is coming, Jesus is coming again, and we're going to get judged, and I want you to be in heaven, right? It's either with God or not with God. That's what's going to happen at the end. And hopefully you are with God. And so I hope in light of eternity that's what we're doing, that we're pushing one another who are Christians, right, to keep living for that eternity, but also those who don't know God yet, to say, hey, encourage them to turn their lives and make that commitment to Christ. All right. I started off, again, this sermon talking about this race, or the running, and how I don't like to run. But the good thing about running with friends is that we're running together with them, right? And I, if somebody was to say, you know what, go and do a marathon by yourself, I would not do it. I would not get very far. But if I was to do it, maybe with people's, I don't know, I probably still wouldn't do it. But still, it would make it easier, right, to run together with people, right? And that's the thing with our Christian faith, is that we are in this together, and we're not running this faith alone. And that's what's really great about, you know, our community here, and I really hope that this is what we're doing, right? That we have people who are kind of speaking into our lives, who are getting us excited about our faith, people who are keeping us accountable, you know, people who are kind of helping us to say, hey, perspective, you know, what are we doing with our life? Are we living for God in eternity? Or are we just living for now, today? And hopefully we're doing the same with others, that we have people that we're doing, you know, pushing them along as well, and running with them and doing that with them. This is our faith, and we can do it together. We really can. Let's go forward to it, living our lives together with God. I want to end with this verse. This is what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:7-9, and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid upon me the crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved in his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. Paul, at the end of his life, in his letter to Timothy, he's writing this, and he says, he did his part, he had ran the good race, he has fought the good fight, he's, you know, he knows his life is at the end, and, you know, he's saying, hey, I did it, you know, and I'm ready to go home, I'm ready to meet my Lord, right, and I know that I'm going to be there with those others as well who have also fought that good fight and ran that good race. And for us, I hope that is the case, right, that we would run this race together, and one day, when we're, you know, at the end of our lives, that we'd be able to do the same thing, and we could say, hey, I have run this good race. I have fought the good fight, right? And that's what hopefully to encourage, exhort one another all the more. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I want to thank you again just for your encouragement to us that we do not have to run this race alone, that we have brothers and sisters who are alongside us, who we can run together. And we just pray that you would continue to help us to encourage one another, to exhort one another in our faith, that we can keep each other accountable, and that we would really be able to live for eternity. We pray that you would, help us as a church to just press on in this race that we are running, and that we may run for you, for your glory. Thank you so much again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.